As you look at the bulletin that you have before you, you will see that the series Rick is doing is on the speed of light. And as we look at life, it often feels like we're going the speed of light. And today we're just going to kind of slow it down a little bit and take a little bit of time to understand what God is teaching us about living the unhurried life, a life that does not have to be filled with busyness and activity 24/7. There are a lot of people today who live with what has been determined by some psychologists as the hurry-up sickness. Hurry up. Come on, let's go. Let's do things. I was traveling in on the 403 and then the 401, and on Sundays it's quite good, but regularly when I travel into Tyndale where I teach, it's just chock-a-block with cars, and I'm constantly turning to 680 on the AM dial to find out alternate routes when there are accidents or when there has been a rollover and there is all kinds of junk on the road. But they have this lane, and if you pay $60 a month, you can travel on it with only a single person. I'm always by myself, and so being cheap, I don't want to pay the $60, so I pay $50 a round trip and take the 407 because I have to be in a hurry. And part of the mantra for many people today is, time is money. Exactly. But we've bought into anything that will probably promise to each of us ways that we can go faster, even travel at the speed of light. Some time ago, the best-selling shampoo on the market went to the very top because they did one thing. They joined the shampoo and conditioner into one bottle. So instead of having a two-step process, you could do it in one step, shortening your time in the shower. Domino's Pizza became number one in the business world because they promised that they would deliver a pizza that you had ordered that you had phoned in under 30 minutes. And I remember when my kids were young and they were living at home, they decided to try it out, and they phoned up Domino's Pizza, and they stood at the driveway with their hand on their wristwatch, and the guy actually was 5 minutes late, and they're standing there like this. He comes in with his pizza, and he says, I know, it's free. So that was the promise of what they were going to deliver. Well, if that's not enough, a lot of us use all kinds of drive-thrus. Many of you go to Tim Hortons, I'm sure, on a regular basis, or Starbucks, if you like a little higher coffee. Well, the reality is, they have these drive-thrus, and sometimes the drive-thru is lined up out to the main highways. And I think it would be quicker to get out of your car, after you've parked it, naturally, and then walk into the store. But people would rather sit for a longer period of time because they think it's going to ultimately be faster. There are many people today who are engaged in what is called polyphasic activity. And that's just a very fancy way of saying we are going to be multitasking, which is another way of saying we're going to try to do more than one thing at a time. But that's too long to say, so we call it multitasking to try to save time. I look at people multitasking in a variety of ways. The other day I was driving, and there was a young woman. She had coffee, steering her car somehow, and putting that makeup stuff on your eye. You know, thank you. Not using it very frequently, I didn't know the name. And so people are trying to do all kinds of activities to somehow speed up their day and to make life move a lot faster. It's interesting when you look at the life of Jesus. He didn't try to speed things up. What he tried to do was to begin to slow things down. And even though in the time when Jesus lived, 2,000 years ago, life was probably not as busy or hectic in the same way that our life is, there were always demands that were being placed upon people. And though you might be able to go home today, pull something out of the refrigerator, defrost it in a few minutes in a microwave, and cook dinner very quickly, in that culture, it would take a lot more time because it was far more labor intensive. But Jesus was aware of the busyness of life. And if you look at his own life, you will discover that he had a pattern, that he would regularly withdraw and have periods of time in silence and in solitude to be personally renewed. This is the Son of God, who knows that life needs to be renewed on a day-to-day basis, and he learned how to just slow it down. And Jesus lived the unhurried life. It's interesting, as he began his ministry in life, we need to look at our own life, and we need to ask this question: what should I be doing with my life? How am I to live out my days that God has given to me? When Jesus began his ministry, he encountered four brothers. There was Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. They were from different families, but they were engaged in the same work occupation. They probably worked with their father, who had probably worked with his father, and they were engaged in the fishing industry. And then he gave them this calling, which is really going to be part of our calling. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." They had been fishermen, and now there's going to be a transition in their life. But Jesus used that fishing term to describe what was going to be their true calling in life. In other words, Jesus was saying, people are going to be the ultimate reason for your life, and you're going to be focused on one task that I will actually give you. And so Jesus said, I invite you to follow me, watch me, learn from me, and I will mentor you as you make your way forward in life. And through that, they would begin to discover God's eternal purpose of loving and caring and calling people into a relationship with God. Now, we know that we all have different occupations, but we have one calling. And the calling is the same for all of us, that we, as followers of Jesus, our calling in life is to communicate to other people the joy and the power that's available in this new life that one can have with Jesus. And so if you are prepared to accept that as your calling in life, to be a devoted follower of Jesus, and as you live out your life to share with others, that's going to mean we are going to be engaged in the lives of other people. The fair warning is this: you are going to face many, many challenges. The challenges will be as many as the people that you actually encounter. So these four brothers left everything that they were doing and became disciples of Jesus, and they followed him. And they discovered, as they walked with Jesus, that there were all kinds of challenges that they had never anticipated. In the reading in Mark's gospel this morning, if we had read just a little bit more, but we didn't, so I'll give you a synopsis. Jesus said, we're going to go into the synagogue, as was his regular custom, and he would teach. That's what he was. He was a rabbi. And the word rabbi just simply means, very literally, a teacher. And so he would go into the synagogue as a teacher, and he would expound scripture to the people. So he goes into this synagogue. Maybe it was like this. He would come into a place like this. And in the synagogue, they actually have a raised platform just like this. They called it the Bema, spelled B-E-M-A. And this is where the rabbi would teach. Now, he often wouldn't stand, because maybe he taught for a long time. He would sit on a stool or a chair. So Jesus goes in and he teaches. And in the midst of his teaching, in the congregation, there is a man who is possessed by an evil spirit. And he begins to manifest. Now, if you've ever seen that happen, sometimes they start to yell. Sometimes they start to swear. They curse. They act in bizarre manners. Now, let's face it, that's pretty attention-getting, isn't it? If someone started to manifest here this morning, I'm sure you wouldn't be listening to me. You'd be all turning and watching what's going on. And Jesus just shuts it down. He brings it to a halt, and he casts out the spirit of that man, and he frees him. The people there in the synagogue say, two things. We have never heard of such teaching, and we have never seen such power as been demonstrated by Jesus when he cast out the spirit in that man's life. Well, they finished the service in the synagogue, and Simon, one of the four, lives in that little village. And Jesus is invited with the other three disciples, and they go to Simon's house for supper. In that house, Simon's mother-in-law also lives, and she has been ill all day. She had a fever, she was not very well, and Jesus goes in and raises her from her sick bed. In fact, she's feeling so well, she gets up and assists in the preparation of the evening meal. Have you ever lived in a small town? If you haven't, you've missed something amazing. News travels faster in a small town than it does on Facebook. People heard about what Jesus was doing, and we are told in the text, the entire village came to Simon's house that night, and Jesus healed many of them. Isn't that amazing? So look at this. That evening, they brought to Jesus all who were sick and possessed with demons. Now notice this. The whole village was gathered around the door because they all couldn't get in. Now that's just one day. That's just one day in the life of Jesus. I would say he was rather busy. I would say that was a rather full agenda that he had. What you begin to discover, as the disciples discovered, is that the needs of people are great. And everywhere, people are looking for some type of help. If you go into a bookstore today, the biggest section I believe you will ever find is on self-help. It can be on any topic. People are looking for some kind of assistance. And what is Jesus saying to us? I think he's saying to us, today as in that day, there are people who need his healing touch on their life. And he's calling us to bring people into his presence. In fact, our calling is to partner with what God is actually doing. Now, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, gave an incredible promise. And the promise is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And look at these words. Truly I tell you, that the one who believes in me will do the works I do. And in fact, you will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Now that's an incredible statement. When you think about what Jesus did, he touched people's lives in so many different ways. But Jesus, in his full humanity, when he was on the earth, was as limited in time and space as you and I are. In other words, he could only be at one place at one time. So if he was in Jerusalem, if he wanted to go to Bethlehem, he'd have to walk the 4 or 5 kilometers to get there. He couldn't suddenly be transported. He couldn't jump into a car and be there in 5 minutes. He had to follow the procedure of that day. But what does it mean that we will do greater? Well, I don't think it's going to be more spectacular. But if Christ lives in you and he lives in me, and we have partnered with what God is doing in the world, then as we spread out, the works will be even greater if we are willing to become dependent upon what God is doing in our life. So if Jesus is our model, look at how he deals with people. He never condemns the afflicted. He treats people never as outcasts, but as people made in the image of God. He has become aware of what their needs are and has this compassionate heart. So he touches the unclean leper when no one else would. He restores those who are banished and brings them into community. And he tells people who are just weary and worn out with life, come to me, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, as I think about that, and maybe as you're thinking about that and thinking, is this what God is calling us to do? I think it can almost leave you breathless. And you're thinking, there are so many needs out there. I have so limited resources, and I only have so much time. What am I going to do? I thought the call this morning was to the unhurried life. And how are we going to put that into perspective with all the challenges and demands that are around us? But Jesus does something that is very interesting. He's done all these wonderful things in the temple. He goes to the house of Simon Peter, raises his mother, ministers to people all night, that night rather. Then he goes to bed. Then he does something which tells us about his resources. And it's this. The next day, in the morning, while it was still dark, he, referring to Jesus, got up, went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Just imagine that. He left the house, goes away from the village to a place where he's going to be all by himself. It's early in the morning, and there he is alone, in silence and in solitude. Well, that wasn't just a one-off. That became a habit. That became a spiritual practice in his life. Jesus was aware that he could not do the ministry that the Father had given him to do in his own strength, but he needed to spend time with the Father to be personally renewed on a day-to-day basis. And then he would go out and minister to people. Jesus encouraged his disciples to do the same thing. There's one time in one of the Gospels of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, he had been teaching to a large crowd. And they suggest that there was at least 5,000 men, plus women and children. So the number probably could easily reach 20,000. And they'd been there all day, and the people are getting tired and hungry. And Jesus said to the disciples, we should give them something to eat. And they said, well, we don't have anything except there's a little kid here, and he has, you know, a little picnic lunch. He has about 5 little loaves of bread, like little buns, and a couple of fish. And Jesus said, well, bring them forward. And the little boy comes and brings his little picnic lunch to Jesus. And Jesus blesses it. He breaks it. And he says to the disciples, distribute that to everybody. And they do it. And everybody ate. Then he says to the crowd, okay, folks, time to go home. The day is over. And he says to the disciples, you need to go across the lake. So get in the little boat and go across the lake. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't go with the disciples. He doesn't go with the crowd. He goes alone by himself on the mountainside just to be alone to pray. And he would tell his disciples over and over again, you need to do the same thing. Why do they need to do that? He is saying the demands of people are always going to be there. Life is going to be busy. But you need time to be alone with God to let God do in you what he will ultimately do through you. Because if you're not allowing God to do his work in your life, all you're going to have to draw on are your own personal resources. And the well is going to run dry. If we want to follow Jesus, let me suggest that we can't go faster than the one who is leading us. And as Jesus is leading us, he is going to go at the pace we need to appreciate. But life is busy, isn't it? And if you make a decision that you would like to eliminate hurriedness from your life, let me give you fair warning, it is not going to be easy. We are so busy every single day. But if you look at Jesus, there were always demands that were being placed upon him. But he did not get to the place where he found it difficult to minister to people. He didn't get to the place where he was irritated by the demands of people. And in order to safeguard that, he went away continuously for periods of solitude and silence. So we go back to the story of Mark that we read this morning. Jesus has gone away to a lonely place. It's early in the morning. It is even still dark. And the disciples find him. And they say, "Jesus, everybody in the village is looking for you. Let's go back there and do stuff." And Jesus said, "No. No, we're not going to do that." Think about the demands that are placed on your life. You find yourself always saying yes. And sometimes when you find yourself saying yes, do you ever get irritated because now your life is going to be busier than ever before? Maybe we're listening to the voice of everybody else who's trying to run our life. Are we ever listening to the voice of the Father who is speaking into our life? You see, Jesus took time alone to hear what the Father was saying and what the Father wanted him to do. I remember years ago in the church where I was serving in Western Canada, I was feeling at times a bit overwhelmed by all the demands of people. The church was growing rapidly, but with rapid growth, you have numerous needs. And I found myself at times starting to resent all the time that was being asked of me. And I remember my office faced the sidewalk, and it was on a busy street in this city in Western Canada. And I could see people walking up the street and walking into the center of the church. And in that open foyer, I had an administrator, and she would kind of introduce herself, and then people would be sent to my office or one of the other staff. And I could see these people coming up thinking, "Oh God, I can't handle another one today." And I began to realize that I was resenting the demands that were being placed upon me. And part of it was, I was listening to everybody else, but I wasn't taking time to listen to the voice of the Father. What did God want me to do? And as I began to pray this prayer, "Oh God, let me receive everyone even as you would receive them," it started to change my whole attitude. And I added this little caveat, "But please keep away those who just want to waste my time." I don't know if God heard that or not. But I had to come to this place of realizing I need to get away to be alone and silent before God, sometimes for extended periods of time, but on a daily basis, so that I was developing my own relationship with God and not just giving out of my own strength because it was becoming more and more limited. And so, as we spend time alone with God, we hear what the Father is saying to us, and we're not going to be led by other people's agenda. And I believe that's why Jesus could say yes to this and no to that. And it just started to put his life into another perspective. When we start to do this, we will have compassion on people. And the demands of others will not wear us out because we're only listening to what the Father is telling us to do. And we're not responding to every issue that comes to the forefront. You know, at the end of his life, Jesus never said, I'm so stressed out. Jesus never said, I'm burnt out. I'm done. Get me out of here. What he did say was this, Father, I have finished the work you have given me to do. So if we're engaged in what God has called us to do, which is caring for people and constantly giving yourself to others, it will take time, it will take energy, it will take a lot of effort on all of our parts. But if you constantly give out, you will ultimately lose your capacity to love. You will suffer from compassion fatigue. You will suffer from burnout. You will declare, I am stressed out. But in silence and solitude, slowing it down and just being alone with God, what God will do is that he will enable you to be energized and strengthened, but knowing the direction you are to take. So allow God to do in you what he will do through you. So Jesus would say to his disciples in Mark, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Look how busy their life was. For many were coming and going, and they didn't even have time for lunch. It hasn't changed much from those who eat their lunch while working at their desk or engaging with people. I love the words of the Apostle Paul when he was writing from a prison to the church in the city of Philippi. He put this into perspective. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we're not spending time with the Lord alone, how can we be strengthened? It's just that I'm trying to do all things in my own strength, and it comes to an end. So this is why we need to be alone. This is why daily we need to be in this intimate relationship with God. Jesus put it in the analogy of a vine and branch, and he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Now notice this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now we need to understand that last sentence. Apart from Jesus, people do a lot of things. They run businesses, they raise families, they contribute to their community, whatever. But apart from that intimate relationship with Jesus, you can't do what God has called you to do as his person here in the world. Because you need to draw the strength you are going to need from the very source of life, Jesus himself. So here's the promise. In the midst of all of life, the words of the prophet Isaiah, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise up on the wings of eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Would you like to have that kind of a life? To have that life means I must first of all wait upon God. The psalm that we read this morning has this amazing line, be still and know that I am God. To be still means I come into the presence of God. I put everything apart. I spend time alone, letting God speak and renew my own life. There are many voices that are calling for your attention and for mine. I don't know what your week ahead is going to be like. I have an idea what some of the things I have to do in this coming week. I'm not sure I even feel up to the task. I know that in one place I'll be at a conference for 3 days with 60-some graduate students. And I know the topics are going to be raised and it's going to be a lot of issues are going to come to the forefront. I don't have the energy, the strength, the knowledge, or the wisdom to deal with all of that stuff. And I know that if I don't come apart on a day-by-day basis with God, I'm going to be a basket case at the end of it. And I'll be highly ineffective in what's going to be expected of me. In the busyness of life, wherever we are, God is calling us to be alone with Him. Let Him renew you day by day. Slow it down. We don't have to travel at the speed of light. Because you have to ask the question, so where are you going when you're traveling so fast? So I have a couple of ideas that maybe will be helpful in this coming week and in the weeks to come. So here are five little ideas that you might key off of. Let me suggest you do this every single day. The first one is, try to find a quiet place. It could be somewhere in your house. It could be that when you go for a walk, there's a quiet place you can be. Sometimes just going for a walk is going to be a place of quietness. If you've got all kinds of issues, say as you leave, God, I'm going to set this aside for the next period of time, whether it's a half an hour or 15 minutes, whatever it is. God, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to park it over here. And then just come into God's presence and say, God, I just want to be still. Now, when you first start this out, let me tell you this. Your mind is going to be so noisy. Your mind is going to be so busy. But as you start to practice this, you will become still. And you will begin to hear God speaking into your own thoughts. Maybe you have a little passage of scripture. Let me invite you to read on it and reflect on it. And ask yourself this question. How does this apply to my life? Don't say, well, that would be a good thing to give to somebody else because they need to hear that. No, this is just about you and God being alone. And as God has spoken how this passage actually speaks into your life, take a few moments to offer a prayer in response to what God has said to you. And commit the rest of your day unto Him. You won't be traveling at the speed of light, but you won't be suffering from the hurry-up sickness, which is destroying many people's lives. But you will be living a life that's full and meaningful, a life that is resourced by Almighty God Himself as He seeks to do His work in and through us. What an amazing way to spend every day. Let's pray together. God, our prayer is that You would slow us down, that we would not be caught up in all the busyness and craziness of life, but that we would learn just to spend time with You alone. May that intimacy develop in such a way that Your presence in our life just spills over to other people, and that we can be the person You want us to be in all of our relationships, loving and caring and compassionate, and speaking words of truth and life and hope into other people's lives. God, You have said, those who wait upon You shall renew their strength. God, in this week, we ask that You would renew us as we wait upon You. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.